Ask Catherine. Been a subscriber for a couple years. Love what you do, by the way. Just listened to you and Franklin, and it pushed me to order blue-green algae. What brand do you buy? Do you get the spirulina at the same place? The algae I buy is BRI Nutrition Klamath Blue Green. I don't have a particular brand of spirulina. I tend to try lots of different organic ones. The person who put me on to the Klamath Blue Green suggested that it would be much better to get them to get it grown in the Klamath area. I look for sort of organic spirulina that comes from an area that is far away from known environmental pollution. It's getting harder and harder. Dear Catherine, what, if anything, do these falling oil prices indicate to you about all the dire consequences predicted by peak oil? There's nothing really I can add that Jim Norman hasn't said. And if you haven't listened to all of our series, go into the subscriber library, go into Energy, and just listen to everything or read everything we've done with Jim Norman. He is terrific. I believe that peak everything is real, that there are increased costs of getting more natural resources in any category or almost any category. Peak oil, you know, I don't agree with the peak oil guys, but it is true that it is getting more expensive, and fracking is really, to me, a transition technology, and the shale revolution is really a transition technology as we shift to renewables and then breakthrough energy. Obviously, battery technology can make a huge difference to renewables. So the part of the transition is making the battery technology work on an economic basis. Now, the big question, of course, is when does the breakthrough technology happen? When does it get integrated? I think part of when it gets integrated has to do with our moving to more energy self-sufficiency and drawing back from the whole Bretton Woods system. It's one of the reasons I wanted to read the book, The Accidental Superpower, because Stratfor and the group that he came from talk a lot about what happens if the U.S. pulls back and stops sort of guaranteeing the global free trade system and what's that's going to do to various people's economics. But as the U.S., part of what we're watching is as the U.S. becomes much more energy independent, the politics of sort of Russia and the Middle East and the providers of oil is changing dramatically. Again, as I've said many times, and I say in connection with what's happening with Cuba, you know, to me, it looks like the Anglo-American alliance is going into hunker down mode, and that's pulling much more back into North America, and into, you know, sort of into the Anglo-American alliances. And energy independence is part of that. And so, again, the question is the U.S. going to get much spottier about ensuring the global trade and protection of the sea lanes? Another question, whenever we have a presidential election here in the United States, it's safe to say that both the Republican and the Democratic nominees for president have already received the approvals of the powers that be before they're ever nominated. Yes, in one sense, they've received enough approvals to run, you know, to get into the primaries or to get serious within the primaries, but it really is a beauty contest. And the decision is not yet made as to who will get the nod. And there are factions and there's competition. So that you're watching competition among approved beauty contest people. This time it was very interesting to see the hit on Chris Christie, because that was clearly happened much earlier in the process and was pretty venal. And you could tell the Bushies were afraid of Chris Christie, but clearly the Clintons were helping. It's what it looked like to me. And so there's sort of more staging of the Clinton-Bush stars, you know, early on and ahead of time. I'm hearing a lot of comments on the internet about the possibility of personal bank accounts being confiscated in the U.S. Do you think the government is likely to do this? If so, how soon do you think it will happen? I think it's all a bunch of hooey. There are a couple of issues going on. And first, we have to talk about insured deposits versus uninsured deposits. I think if your deposits are insured by FDIC, there is absolutely no reason for anyone in the U.S. leadership to jeopardize insured deposits unless for some reason they want to bring down the banking system entirely and turn us into a complete dictatorship, which I don't see why they would do. It's much more economic to run it the way they're running. I'd much rather use entrainment on cell phones than go to something as extreme as taking down FDIC. So I see no indication that they're interested in doing it. And why would they do it? They have the power to print money. It's not as like it necessarily costs them anything. They can just print it. So I don't see any jeopardy on the horizon for FDIC-insured deposits. I'm not saying that that can't change, but I don't see anything on the horizon that says we need to worry about that. Now, uninsured deposits, yes, there's plenty on the horizon to say we have to worry about uninsured deposits because, as a practical matter, if you are not going to do too big to fail, then when a bank fails, some of the depositors or all of the depositors are going to lose some or all of their money. That's just simple math. One of the things that is extremely irritating is to see lots of commentators who were highly critical of Too Big to Fail, saying it was a horrible conspiracy and we should never do it again, now saying it's a horrible conspiracy that we're going to cut the value of uninsured deposits or have uninsured depositors take losses. Well, you know, duh, it's math. So a lot of the stuff on the internet is just, you know, I have to say, is complete hooey. If you have uninsured deposits in a bank that is not financially sound or strong, then your money is at risk. It's one of the reasons we're seeing money leave the high yield market, the junk bond market, because there's real concern about credit quality and you're seeing a flight to security. So for heaven's sakes, make sure your bank deposits are insured and make sure that they're in a sound financial institution that's got great leadership and has strong capitalization. You know, we're going back to a world where the government just isn't going to guarantee everything. Once upon a time, when we all lived on the prairie, if you put your money in a bank and the bank was corrupt or the bank was incompetent or not properly capitalized or things went wrong, guess what happened? You lost your money. That's how life works. China's adding insured deposits into their system, and part of it is they want to make their system more or less inclined to have certain kinds of problems. But again, as I said, you know, if you don't do too big to fail, then the depositors are going to get hurt. That's how it works. One of the reasons I get so concerned, because I can't tell you how many times I get these questions, and I get these questions from people who go into a panic because they read stuff that is just not responsibly done, is not knowledgeably done, and oftentimes is designed to scare people to death. And if you look at the statistics and if you look at what's going on, there are many things in this world to fear, like drowning in a bathtub, dying of a heart attack, which I call the risk of a broken heart, or having a car accident. If you look at the statistics, those are the things we need to worry about. Worrying about the government seizing our bank account is just not anything to worry about in 2015. And if that changes, you'll be the first to hear it. There'll be big blaring signs up on the blog, and I'll be talking about it.